in winter. Anyway, it was just yesterday that the three Nobel Peace Prize laureates received their award in Oslo, Norway. Remember Alfred Nobel, that Swedish industrialist, the inventor of dynamite? He's the one who established this by his bequest. It was set up in 1900, but I won't go into the too much into the story of him. Anyway, so the three people there to receive it were Natalia Pinchuk, Aleš Bialyatsky, and Aleksandra Matvichuk. I hope I pronounced those correctly. So they are respectively, it's a Russian, a Belarusian, and a Ukrainian. So two women and one man. So they delivered their orations there, their acceptance speeches in Oslo Town Hall, which is open to the public most of the year. And I shouldn't say Aleš Bialyatsky wasn't there himself, sorry, his wife collected his behalf. So he's in prison in Belarus currently. So he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his gallant and indefatigable battle against Lukashenko's cruel tyranny. And Memorial, a Russian human rights organization that's been going since 1989, was awarded it for their fearless documentation about human rights abuses committed by the Russian government and previously the Soviet government going back almost a century. And it's a cruel irony, and in fact very telling, that the very day that Memorial was awarded this prize, it was declared illegal in Russia. And its offices were raided on the basis of being extremist, insofar as it's extremely honest, extremely brave. In that sense, I suppose, yes, it really is extremist. I mean, mass murder by Stalin, that's not extreme, according to the current Russian regime. This illegal and unprovoked war of aggression is not extreme, the Kremlin has had us believe. Numerous atrocities, such as the Bucha massacre, are not at all extreme. But telling the plain truth about these crimes against humanity, that is extreme, according to the Putin regime. He and his merry mob find the truth intolerable. Anyway, the Ukrainian Center for Civil Liberties was honored, but Aleksandra Matvichuk is the individual to receive the prize. And the Nobel Prize Committee said it was awarded for human rights, democracy, and peaceful coexistence, for battling valiantly for those causes in the face of brutal tyranny. So the head of the Center for Civil Liberties, that's a Ukrainian organization, Ms. Matvichuk, she said, "The people of Ukraine want peace more than anyone else in the world, but peace cannot be achieved by a country under attack laying down its arms." Close quotation. And you can see how these countless Russian war crimes have actually stiffened the spine of the Ukrainians. Not that they needed much more resolve. They're certainly not known as being an invertebrate people. Because if you let your town fall into Russian hands, you know what's going to happen. There's going to be pillaging at best. There'll be large-scale rape. There'll be torture centers opened. And there'll be the large-scale murder of civilians. I know no army is perfect. Occupying armies often behave badly. Most major armies have committed war crimes in history, but I'm afraid to say the record of the Russian army through history is egregiously horrific, is one of the worst on record for doing this on an absolutely enormous scale with more or less total impunity. And then barefaced denial, even if there's a mountain of the most irrefragable evidence of these war crimes being committed. I remember Alexander Solzhenitsyn, another Nobel Prize laureate, a man later honored by Putin. He's got his statue up in Moscow. And he said raping a German woman towards the end of the Second World War would be considered almost a combat distinction. And they were virtually never penalized for it in the least. And this was a military with iron discipline. You could be sent to the gulag like that. You could be executed for a trifling offense. But committing that very severe crime against any civilian, you get cleared away with it. Now, all right, I know that's partly because of the countless huge-scale crimes committed by the Third Reich against Soviet civilians and Soviet military personnel in captivity. Anyway, so that Center for Civil Liberties was established in 2007 and has been tirelessly documenting crimes committed by Russian troops in Ukraine, said that they've deliberately targeted civilian buildings on numerous occasions. They've deliberately caused a lot of people to be internally displaced or flee abroad. They've declared evacuation corridors and bombed them on purpose to murder more civilians. They've destroyed hospitals on purpose on dozens of occasions. They've bombed schools and so on. They've used torture on, again, on a gigantic scale. So these are sins crying to heaven for vengeance. And it's really beyond argument that these have been committed. And not once or twice. I know there are a few bad apples in every army, but on a very enormous scale. Matvichuk said she was unable to write her speech initially with electricity, had to use candlelight when it was taken out. Center for Civil Liberties in Ukraine says over 27,000 alleged war crimes have been recorded since the war began on the 24th of February this year. And yet that's only the tip of the iceberg, because they just don't have the staff or the capacity to keep up with these war crimes at the rate that they're being committed. Have to concentrate only on the severest. And she said that the trouble is, you know, it's a bit like Stalin said, one death is a tragedy, a million is just a statistic. This person just becomes a datum. And we lose sight that there's actually a human face, it's a real person, say the person's name. These people are killed, they're just as alive as me and you. They have the full range of emotions as everybody else, the full range of physical sensations. And it's just hard to multiply that by tens of thousands. We think of all the people who have been killed in a completely avoidable, illegal and unprovoked war. You know, people say, oh, what about, you know, the United States and the UK invasion of Iraq? And that's debatable. Was it right? Was it wrong? There's some sort of plausible, arguable case with United Nations Security Council resolutions against, and they're fighting against one of the cruelest tyrannies in the world. Some people think it's still illegal. But with Russia, there's none of that. There are no UN Security Council resolutions. There are no UN General Assembly resolutions. It is an outright invasion without a scintilla of justification, without a shred of evidence of atrocities being committed against Russian civilians in East Ukraine. And if there really was any sort of genocide, why didn't they all flee? Why did it take them 8 years to intervene? Obviously, the Putin regime has himself committed genocide against its own citizens in Chechnya and other places. So, the Nobel Prize Committee awarded it to people of these three nationalities, partly to nail the lie that this is somehow Russophobic. They're obviously speaking up for Russians who are trying to defend their own rights, assert their own constitutional entitlements. For instance, you know, censorship is specifically prohibited pursuant to the Russian constitution, and yet there is censorship, there's military censorship. You can't call the war a war, say there's a conflict or an invasion. You cannot say anything about this illegal war unless it comes directly from Russian official military sources and so on. You cannot tell the truth about the massacre of civilians perpetrated by Putin's legions in Ukraine. People have gone to prison for that. You can go to prison up for 25 years for telling the plain truth. No censorship. Gay people cannot try and meet each other through apps or anything like that, couldn't advertise a gay dating event, anything like that. Even novels depicting homosexuality in a positive manner, that could be gay propaganda, that's illegal, all sorts of things. It's really just staggering. Insulting the president or any official, that's the crime. Diminishing the glory of the army, so-called rehabilitating fascism, which would be to ask some pertinent questions about the Second World War, any of that, that's a crime, things like that. So, one of the Russian people who was accepting on behalf of Memorial, Jan Rachinsky, who's chairman, said it's really the current war is all about Russia's imperial ambitions, and that carries over from the Soviet Union. It's quite true. The Soviet Union, you can forget all this guff about internationalism, was really Russian imperialism under another guise. Now, imperialism, they've got their pros, they've got their cons. In some ways they're evil, in some ways they're good. But I'm afraid Russian and Soviet imperialism had actually very little to recommend it. And an awful lot to be said against it. So Rachnitsky correctly pointed out that Putin is deliberately misusing anti-fascism by wrongly branding the Ukrainian democracy as a fascist regime. And that's, he said, it's an insane war that Putin and his merry mob have started against Ukraine. What else to report about this? Rachinsky noted the grim statistic that there are more political prisoners now in Russia than there were in the 1980s in the Soviet era, when it was openly totalitarian, a one-party state. So that's how much Putin's had to oppress. And unfortunately, the situation is just as horrendous in Belarus, where Alice Bialyatsky, he's in prison. His human rights group called Vyasna, meaning spring in the Belarusian language, but that there is a really deepest winter for Belarusian human rights. He's been there for about a year and a half. There's really no sign he's going to come out. An unfair trial is completely unknown, so he wasn't even allowed to go and accept it. So he is a prisoner of conscience. It was his wife, Natalia Pinchuk, who was there to accept it upon his behalf. And she rightly said that Belarus has more or less become a puppet state of Russia. He's entirely dependent on Russia, economically. The Russian military is there. Its absorption into the Russian Federation could be effectuated very easily. So the Belarusian people are heavily oppressed by their own regime, as well as that of the Putin regime. And the Russification of the country linguistically is carrying on apace, and all right, for a long time, many people did speak Russian. I think that's the least objectionable thing. There's nothing wrong with the Russian language. People want to use it. People don't want to speak to Belarusian. Nothing wrong with that. But they're trying to more or less lobotomize Belarus as a distinct nation. If they freely choose fusion with Russia, I certainly wouldn't stand in their way. Anyway, so that is the end of this Nobel Prize evening. And that reminds us what's really going on, who are real human rights activists making real sacrifices for human rights, not Meghan and Harry living it up in California with tens of millions of dollars they never earned, but got off British taxpayers just for being royal, or, you know, crying into their champagne. How about these people who are out there on the front lines suffering, getting death threats, being sent to prison for decades in horrific conditions, could yet be murdered. And they are the people who actually deserve adulation for their valor. Right, thank you for watching. Goodbye.